Let's mother heckin' do this. Hello, my sweet little beautiful soul. Welcome back to another episode of Actually Alexandra Radio, and welcome to 2022. If you can't tell by my voice, I am very sick right now as I record this. So this episode, we're a little late, you know. I wanted to get this episode out before 2022 started, because we're going to talk about 2021 and, you know, the last year, a little reflection as we step into the new year. I guess you guys have probably already stepped into it, and I stepped into it with COVID. So hello, hi. I always suck at like introducing myself to, I'm always just, you know, when I hop on to podcasts with you, I truly think of it as I'm like talking to one of my best friends. So if you are newer here, hi, I'm Allie, Alexandra, Al, whatever you want to call me, _ Alexandra Dawson on Instagram. And my main mission here on this planet is to help you come home to you and be the youest you that there ever is, if that makes sense. I'm super grateful to have you here if you're listening. But anyways, I want to give you a little, let's just talk for a minute, me and you, two friends. Let me set the scene for you. I never record podcast episodes from bed, but I am in bed right now. Actually, you know what? This might be like my new setup. I feel so comfy cozy, but I wanted to have this episode out probably like 3 weeks ago, but holidays came and I was home in Boston. So I live in LA and I was home in Boston for the holidays, or Chelmsford. It's always so funny when I can say like, oh, I live in Boston, and people are like, oh, like, yeah, so you're like used to a city. And I'm like, no, I live in Chelmsford. But so I was home in Chelmsford for like 10 days, and I honestly had planned to podcast there and get a lot done, but I started feeling this weird energy within me, like really just drained and exhausted. So I listened to my body. I tested negative for COVID at home, and then I came back to LA, and lo and behold, I tested positive, and I've been quite sick. So I stepped into the new year. I spent New Year's Eve gargling salt water, hot salt water, over the phone with my friend Amanda, because she was also sick. And we just like talked on the phone and like entered the new year together, which was actually really nice. We talked, I think we started talking around like 10:30 at night, and we, towards the end, when it was like about to hit 2022, we started like reflecting together on the last year of our life, and we went month by month. And maybe we'll get into that a little today, because the last year of my life, whoo, baby, it was, I'm in this phase right now where I'm actually finally just allowing it to catch up to me, all that the last year of my life was. And sometimes, you know, when I say that, I even kind of convince myself, like, oh, it wasn't that bad, like, I gaslight myself. But you know what? I emotionally experienced so much. If you're familiar with the self-healing world and doing shadow work and inner child healing, you don't have to be going through anything in your external environment. I just stuttered. Your external environment. But oh my goodness, the emotional, how draining that is on your emotions to be doing this type of work. It's exhausting. And I feel like if I had to give a word to 2021, it would be exhausting in the most beautiful way, I guess, because 2021 was the year that I lost self-love and was forced to find it. I actually was finally forced to dive into self-healing and like really learn about what true self-healing was. I remember last year, I'm sure you guys are familiar, a lot of people set a word for the year. I'm not huge on like, oh, New Year's resolutions or whatever that may be. I think it's totally okay to have goals, obviously, but how can we be gentle with ourselves? I don't feel like we always need to set this huge goal for like, oh, this is, you know, it's the new year. You can become brand new whenever. And also recognizing that the new year does not mean you need to change everything about your life and about who you are. But I do like to think of some words that I want to take into New Year's with me. And last year, I remember the word was open. My word last year for 2021 was open. And I remember I wrote on Instagram, this was my old Instagram, I wrote a caption pretty much saying, I want to be open to whatever life has to throw me. I want to allow life to crack me open. I wanted to stop putting band-aids over wounds and really look at myself with such an honest and deep lens and really be able to face things head on. And I truly, truly did that in the new year, or in 2021. I faced things head on. I learned to stop, you know, resisting or avoiding or turning the blind eye to things that really needed to be looked at. I observed my own inner world so openly, and I allowed life to crack me open. I stopped closing myself off from feeling, and I allowed myself to feel everything to the core of my being. 2021, I can honestly tell you, is the year that I cried more tears than I've ever cried in one single year. Along with like at the end of 2020 too. So like, honestly, 2020 into 2021. Like, you know when you're entering a new year and you're like, yes, this is going to be amazing. I'm getting a fresh start. I just genuinely, I think 2020 and 2021 honestly kind of just like meshed together in my mind as like one year, because everything from 2020 flooded into 2021 for me to really deal with. And yeah, like I said, more tears than I've honestly ever cried in my life. And I think that is such a beautiful thing that I finally allowed myself to release emotion without guilt, without judgment, without how am I here still crying. I allowed myself to be cracked open by life. And with that crack, I picked my pieces up with love, with so much love. And that was like one of my huge takeaways from 2021, was that life will crack me open and it will break me down. And I can't avoid that. There's no avoiding the storms that life throws at us. But how can we prove to ourselves that we are so strong to pick our pieces up on our own? To actually love ourselves through those things. I think that's self-love. It looks so airy-fairy and rainbows and butterflies and sunshine and beautiful. But self-love is so freaking messy. Self-love is loving yourself through the mess, holding yourself through the mess, picking up the pieces through the mess. That is like the depths of it and the root of it. And really, 2021 showed me that. So I want to just talk about some lessons that I learned in 2021. And like I said, this was the year that I really learned self-healing and what that meant. And maybe we can open up about what my months really looked like behind the scenes, because I also took like, I think 2 or 3 months off of social media at one point. Yeah, let's get into it. So let's get into what my lessons were from 2021. I am someone who is hugely reflective. I need to reflect on so much and to process things, to really move forward, to see how they impacted my present and how I can stop allowing them to impact my present. And I just really believe that one thing that I've really started to love actually about myself, more than just accept about myself, but love, is the fact that I do so much processing and I do so much reflecting. Because I really truly believe when we look at things that we've been through in our lives and we allow ourselves to sit with it and reflect and process, we gain such a better understanding of ourselves, of how that has impacted us, and how we want to, you know, move forward and how we can actually release that. So reflecting, I think, is so much different than holding on to the past. Because I think about my time in Miami, I think about the past year of my life. Honestly, I think about it a lot. But I don't think about it in a way that I'm holding on to it. I think about it in a way that I'm kind of learning from it and gaining a better understanding from it. And I think that that is so important. That's one of the most important things, or for me, I guess. And I think that's why it's important we reflect, because we can have the season of our lives and we can just move on from it and never look back because we're like, oh, past is the past. I don't want to hold on to it. And I totally agree. The past is the past, right? We can't change it. We can't dwell on it. We can't spend our times wishing it were different. Well, we could, but it wouldn't get us anywhere. The past is the past. But the past also impacts how you operate in the present, how you think in the present, how you show up, how you act. Unless, and that happens very subconsciously. So if you consciously decide to reflect on the past, not in this nostalgic way, but in a please let me gain a deeper understanding and learn from you type of way, that's how we can use our past and integrate it in a healthy way into our present to either, you know, understand ourselves or why we feel certain ways in relationships or in life or whatever it may be. I think reflection really truly does add to growth. So I reflect a lot, and that truly helps me integrate my soul growth instead of just moving on and, like, again, saying the past is the past. So lessons from a hard year. I wrote this in my journal the other day. So when I'm recording this, it's currently January 6th. And I am also not really feeling like myself. I can't really think straight. So I apologize if this isn't like the most clear podcast episode, but I'm really feeling like I wanted to just talk to you guys. I've been cooped up in my room, honestly, I got back here on the 29th and it's the 6th. So yeah, it's been a hot minute, but I sat with myself the other day and I journaled lessons from a hard year, and I just wrote a few bullet points that I want to share with you. So this might not be poetic, this might not be as well spoken as I feel like I usually am able to be on podcasts, but you know what? I'm giving myself so much grace to just be the way that I am right now, which is a little bit not all there in my brain and a little bit run down and tired. But another thing of self-love is meeting ourselves wherever we are at in any given day, in any given moment. Meeting ourselves right there, right then, instead of saying, I only love you when you're your best. I only love you when you're feeling your best. I only love you when you're performing your best. Self-love is unconditional and accepting ourselves in the moment and allowing ourselves to be as we are in the moment instead of comparing ourselves to the version of ourselves that we know is the best or performs better or, you know, we like better. Because we all have that version of ourselves that we kind of hold on a pedestal and we always want to, it's, you know, our highest self. We always want to strive to be our highest self. But instead of always striving to be your highest self, that's the self that's outside of you right now, or a different version of you, how can you be your highest self in the version of you that you are in this moment? And for me, that is, I'm sick in this moment. I'm not my highest self. I have the freaking vid. And I'm gonna be gentle with myself. I'm gonna give myself grace, and I'm gonna choose to show up anyways and not compare to the version of myself that I always strive to be. Because we are enough in any version that we are, and as long as we learn to meet ourselves in that version and accept and hold space for that version and kind of allow that version to be, that is a part of self-love. So, sorry for that tangent. We just had to talk about that for a minute. Anyways, lessons from a hard year. Feel. Allow yourself to feel every last thing down to your core. Allow life to crack you open, to force expansion even when it hurts. Through the cracks, light gets in. You're growing, you're healing. You're shedding all of the layers that no longer belong to you. You're getting back to the core of who you are. Feel to heal. You can't put band-aids over bullet holes. Whoo, baby. This is a big one that I learned. Feel to heal. And when I am saying these words, I get this very clear picture of myself back in February 2021, of me just sitting on a balcony in Miami, feeling every last excruciating feeling that there was. So let me give you guys a little bit of a backstory, okay? Because I honestly feel like, I guess maybe before we get into this full list of lessons from a hard year, I should give you a backstory. And I have a little opened up about maybe the last 2 years of my life. And I'm not gonna get fully into it here, but let's just rewind for a minute and give you a backstory. So 2020, I got into a relationship, okay? Actually, even before that, my story is that for so long, so many years of my life, I struggled with an eating disorder. And my eating disorder was kind of this band-aid to cover up the bullet holes that were underneath it. What I mean by that is my eating disorder was my way of avoiding the wounds that were really within. And I didn't realize it at the time. You know, when I had an eating disorder, it was just, oh, I want to lose weight and I'm afraid of food and I don't feel good enough. But my eating disorder was my way to mask the feeling of not feeling good enough and not really dive deeper into it and just let it be, hey, I don't feel good enough. So, you know what? Let me just mask that, pretend it doesn't exist, and use my eating disorder to cope, right? So I felt fully recovered from my eating disorder in 2019. But as I just told you guys, I didn't fully understand what self-healing was until this year. And I didn't even know that I had self-healing to do. So this is where it gets important with my relationship. So I'm recovered from my eating disorder for about a year at this point, and I enter a relationship in the summer of 2020. And that relationship, as I have learned, relationships act as a mirror into our own selves and our own souls and what we really need healing. So that relationship rubbed up on so many of my past wounds. It felt like the earth was just like shattering around me, because I'm like, what is happening? I had spent so long building up my confidence, building up my self-worth, building up my self-love, and all of a sudden I enter a relationship and it was good and happy and all these things, but so much was bubbling up within me from my past of not feeling good enough, not feeling worthy. And I had to face these things now. Instead of, I no longer had my eating disorder to mask the things. So 2020, I'm in that relationship. Towards the end of 2020, we start going through a really rocky time in our relationship. I'm also struggling with seasonal depression. I'm also struggling with the things that that relationship was bringing up within me. So much at once. Ultimately, it led to a breakup. And, you know, this was really what actually forced me into self-healing. Like, all of that. Because guess what? I had the choice to either choose myself with love and face the triggers, face the old wounds, or cover them up again with the band-aid that my eating disorder was. And we do not do that over here anymore. That's not an option. And so I had to learn how to meet myself with love and face these triggers in my old wounds and heal them without band-aids. And I've talked to you guys a lot about my mat and my practice with my mat. Meditation and movement and Pilates in general has, over the past 2 years, healed me and brought me home to myself in the deepest of ways. I would never have been able to get through anything without my practices. Honestly, I would have turned back to my eating disorder. I can say that with full confidence. But this version of me that I've been for a few years, like, when I'm experiencing the triggers or whatever it may be, my wounds are being scratched. I'm now able to recognize the stories that those wounds carry, heal them, and really love myself through by, like, coming back to myself through meditation and my movement and on my mat, which truly, I'm so grateful for my practice. Honestly, it has held me through so much. But anyways, so that relationship, we broke up end of 2020. I flew to Miami, needed a lot of freaking healing, okay? I needed to face my darkest shadows. I needed to do inner child healing. I needed to, like I was telling you guys earlier, reflect on the relationship and why it made me feel, why it broke me down so much, turned me into a person that I didn't even recognize what happened to me. I completely lost myself, completely. And in Miami, I stayed in Miami January, February, March of 2021. I left towards the end of March. And all I did there is focus on my healing and reflect on what had just happened and reflect on what are these wounds. I need to figure out these wounds because I'm always going to have them if I can't face them. And again, in the past, I wouldn't have faced them. I would have turned to my eating disorder and maybe I would be sitting here telling you that, oh, my 2021 wasn't that messy because, oh, I just covered the wounds with band-aids. But we don't use band-aids anymore. So at first, when I was in Miami, I didn't want to feel. I didn't truly allow myself to feel all that I had just been through. And eventually, I learned that I was putting on band-aids by avoiding or distracting myself or giving my time and attention to just things besides what I needed to give my attention to, which was me, myself, and my healing. And so had that honest conversation with myself and was pretty much like, Al, you need to turn inward. I have like pages in my old journal saying like everything within you is telling you to turn inwards. But as humans, we don't want to feel. We don't want to feel the excruciating moments. Why do you think we turn to the band-aids? Not because we think the band-aids will fix. I mean, yeah, we kind of do, but mostly because we just don't want to feel. So we avoid. But my biggest lesson This is why it's one of the first things that I wrote, or the first thing that I wrote was feel. Allow yourself to feel every last thing down to your core. That is how you take care of the wound. That is how you tend to it. You spend time with the wound. You get to know the wound. And for me, I realized that my eating disorder was, in the past, the band-aid to all of my wounds around my own self-worth and around how lovable I thought I was, and self-esteem and self-confidence and so many things. And my relationship brought up a lot of those old wounds. And so this was my time in my life, the first time in my life that I've ever looked at the wounds that were underneath my eating disorder and gave them space to breathe and learned from them and held space for them and held myself with love through them. And although it was an excruciating year, that is so beautiful when we are able to look at those parts of ourselves that are so dark and that are so deeply hurt and love, give love to them, hold space for them, hug them. And that's truly what I had to do. And I also, by doing this, kind of had so many more, you know, awakenings as to why my eating disorder existed. That's kind of where, like, the inner child healing work came in of, you know, what happened when I was a kid? Like, why did I grow up to be this person who felt so unworthy and so unlovable that she turned to an eating disorder in the past? Like, I really, really dove deep into my soul at the beginning of this year, and I'm so thankful I did. I'm so thankful that I allowed myself to feel. When we feel, we heal. We cannot heal something if we refuse to look at it. If we refuse to tend to it, it will never get better. We must feel to heal. It is a beautiful part of the human experience, I promise you. Don't ever convince yourself that you feel too deeply or you feel too much. Allow it all. Allow yourself to feel to the depths of your core. And truly, by looking at myself with such an honest lens, I was able to rewrite some of my old stories. By truly looking at my past, the role that my eating disorder played, why my relationship literally broke me so much when I thought I was such a confident, self-loving person who truly saw her worth, when I was able to look at that without turning a blind eye and give it room to breathe and really learn from it, I was able to integrate it into my healing and allow that break to alchemize my healing and my spiritual and soul growth. I no longer allowed the old stories to control my life anymore because I decided to look at what the stories were instead of just avoiding them. And again, my love, I know we don't want to feel hurt. I know we don't want to feel ourselves breaking and cracking. But I promise you, so much beauty comes from allowing ourselves to do so. So much beauty comes from allowing ourselves to break so bad that our only option is to pick up our pieces or stay crumbled on the floor. And I think that sometimes we must break in order to be forced to pick ourselves up and piece ourselves back together in the most beautiful of ways. Because if you're breaking, there's a reason for it. It's because something in your life, something within you, needs to get out. You need to break so that the pieces that don't belong can fall away. The stories that don't belong can fall away. And you can pick up those pieces and build yourself up again. Put yourself back together without the things that do not align or belong. Rock bottom will teach you things that mountaintops never will. Our biggest breakdowns lead to the biggest breakthroughs. Calm comes after storms. There's calm after chaos, there's peace after storms, and sometimes we must break completely in order to rebuild fully. You just have to trust your ability to transform and feel. Allow the feelings to move through you. Because another thing that I really learned is that if we don't, it lives within the body. There's a book, I haven't read it. I think it's called like The Trauma Lives in the Body. You guys, no, it is not called that. It's called The Body Keeps the Score. I had to look it up because I'm like, that is not a poetic name. The Body Keeps the Score. And I haven't read it, but the body does keep the score. And trauma doesn't have to mean you had some big event that happened. But emotional turmoil is trauma, okay? So I will look back on this year and I would say, yeah, I face a lot of emotional trauma. And that's fair of me to say. And sometimes I think we don't validate ourselves again because we don't think it's bad enough. I can't classify that as trauma. But emotional turmoil, you can classify as trauma. Anything that felt so excruciating to you, trauma does not have to be this big event that we make it out to be. And so the body keeps the score. The body will hold on to your emotional turmoil and create dis-ease within until we allow that emotional turmoil out. We also have these energetic bodies within and an emotional body within. And if we don't tend to that body as well, guess what? If we just let the toxicity live within us, it stays in our emotional and our energetic body, and you will have like physical ailments and even mental blockages manifest. And I experienced that firsthand when I wasn't letting myself feel, I couldn't think straight. I ended up gaining a lot of weight in certain areas of my body that were holding on to emotional trauma. And once I just allowed myself to feel, I came home to my body a lot more. And I can't remember where I started this tangent, excuse the COVID brain, but what you don't allow out will live within. So feel it all. Shed all the layers that no longer belong to you and get back to the core of who you are. Come home to yourself. Rise. Be the phoenix that rises from the ashes. You have to feel to do that, though. So another lesson from a hard year. Sit with yourself. Hold space for yourself. There is power in the pause. So this really does go along with feeling, because I think sometimes we just truly want to run from our emotions. We want to run from holding space for them. But one of the most powerful things that I learned this year is to sit with myself and to really let myself be with myself and be with the emotions when I wanted to avoid, when I wanted to run from myself or abandon myself. How could I sit with myself and hold space for whatever was arising within me? Hold space without judgment, without telling myself I should be over this by now, without sugarcoating things. How can I sit with myself and hold space for this emotion and this feeling and witness it for exactly what it is without attaching myself to it means X, Y, and Z about me, but just simply witness it and allow it to send me further into my healing, my self-healing journey. So sitting with ourselves, there's so much power in that. And again, power in the pause. We are constantly going. We are constantly on the move. We are constantly on to the next thing. But there's so much power in being able to take a time out and put things on hold and focus on whatever you need to focus on in your healing. Or in your self-love, or in your life. There's so many times when I've I've known that my soul needed some healing or some extra love and some extra tending to, but life is busy and I refuse to pause. But this year I really learned to pause and to give myself and to give my soul that attention and that time and that space that it truly needed. And if I hadn't, I wouldn't have healed as deeply as I did. And healing is a continuous journey that I will always be on, diving deeper into my soul and coming home to myself further and further. But I know now to pause when I feel that I need to pause. To stop just, you know, our logical brains will want us to keep going, but our intuition will know. And our job is to listen to our intuition. Our intuition is that, you know, it's like the gut feeling. It's our body's way of communicating with us. And our body is so much smarter than our mind, honestly. That is how I feel. Our mind is very influenced by the shoulds of the external world. And our body knows nothing of that. Our body just knows, truly knows what it needs. Our body is speaking from a place of soul, without the influence of the external world. And so pausing when you feel like, oh, it's time to pause, need to do some healing work, or I need to just sit with myself for a little and allow myself to hold space for the emotion that I'm feeling. A lot of the times, this goes with healing again, but we don't hold space for the emotion because we convince ourselves so heavily, oh, I'm being too emotional. Oh, I should be over this. I don't want to be the girl who's crying for 3 months straight, aka what I was. But if I hadn't done that, if I hadn't held space for the emotions and let them breathe, again, they would just be trapped inside of me. And when we can slow down and when we can be with the emotion and hold space for it and sit with it rather than being on this like hamster wheel and like constantly running and knowing that it'll catch back up to us at some point. If we can grab the emotion, sit with it, it stops controlling us so much. We get familiar with it and we learn to tend to those emotions with more love and more gentle care and more softness towards ourselves. Because when we don't take time to hold space for an emotion, we kind of run with the storyline that emotion or that feeling creates within. But if we sit with it and feel it and hold space, we get to know it for what it really is, and we can actually see the truth behind the stories that our mind sometimes tells us. So holding space for myself really looked like, when I say sitting on a balcony in Miami, I literally want you to picture me sitting on a balcony in Miami in the sunshine with my journal next to me, meditation music going all day long, and just being in my thoughts. Like truly being in my thoughts and being with myself and being present with myself. And again, just allowing the feelings to be felt. That was me holding space for myself. And holding space is also just allowing your emotions to just be whatever they are. And that's how we tend to them. My third bullet point was communicate. Set boundaries. Say no. Choose yourself. Be honest and honor yourself. This was all kind of one. Communication, I think, has been a huge, huge theme of, you know, the past year, especially, or I guess learning healthy communication. I think that in the past, I used to be afraid, and I put communication with like honoring yourself, because I used to be afraid to communicate my thoughts or my needs or my authentic voice out of fear. I thought that if I communicated openly and honestly with people, that maybe I would hurt their feelings or they wouldn't like me, or if I communicated, you know what, I actually don't like this aspect of our relationship and I would like for this to change. I thought that if I communicated my needs, like, people would think I was too needy, or they would abandon me, or think I was too much, or just crazy. And honestly, maybe they did, but those aren't my people, because the people that only benefit from us, or the people that cannot respect our needs within a relationship, we only want to be in relationships with people who can respect our own personal needs within that relationship, right? If you communicate your needs in a relationship with someone and they can't respect it, they only benefit from you when you don't communicate your needs, when you don't have those boundaries. And so I think I learned communication in the way that, like, I needed to respect my relationship with myself above all else. So what did that look like? Saying no to things, saying no to others in order to say yes to myself. And someone who truly loves and cares about you also cares about your own self-respect and your own relationship with yourself. I also learned a lot to communicate about my emotions. I used to be so afraid to communicate my emotions because, again, I didn't want to be too much for someone. I didn't want to be too emotional. And I learned that within relationships, if we can't communicate, then there's no level of closeness. If we, the more we communicate with people, the closer we can get to them. And I really, really learned that this year, especially with my friend in Miami. I think he really taught me, or helped me learn even more of, like, healthy communication. I also learned that I need people in my life that have healthy communication, and I didn't have that before, and it's hard to find those people, but we need that. I've had to realize this year that I was on an emotional maturity level that was a lot different than a lot of people I was surrounding myself with. So even when I did communicate my needs to them, or just, like, my honest thoughts or emotions, and they didn't know how to hold space for those thoughts and emotions, or they would take them personally, I just had to realize, like, oh, maybe those aren't people I should be communicating with. And so this year, I just really learned a lot about healthy communication and, like, how it's okay to say no to people, to say yes to yourself. For example, the other night, or, like, a few weeks ago here in LA, one of my friends asked me to go out, and I had no plans, right? I didn't have any plans. I was doing nothing, but I didn't want to go out. Oh, it didn't resonate with me. It didn't align with my soul to want to go out and be at a club and be around people or drink or anything like that. And earlier in the day, I had kind of made her think that I was going to go out with her, because part of me was like, yeah, you know what? You can do that. Or I think part of me more so was like, you should do it, you know, because she's your friend and you love her and you're not doing anything. But I then, you know, it came around to around the time that we might be going out, and I kind of just said, you know what? I actually don't want to go out tonight. I actually don't feel like this resonates or this aligns with me tonight, and I'm going to stay in and just hang out by myself, because that's what I'm feeling, is I really need alone time. And so this year, I truly learned to honor my relationship with myself in that way, without fear of what will the other person think of me. I know in high school, I struggled with this so much. And, like, even years beyond it, I struggled with it so much. I was so afraid to say no to people, because what if I was abandoned by them? But if you are abandoned by someone for choosing your own relationship with yourself, that is not someone that you want in your life in such a profound way. That is not someone that that's not the type of love and relationship that you want, whether it be family, friends, or romantic. You want someone that you deserve the people in your life that want you to respect yourself and respect your boundaries. And so communicating my boundaries in a healthy way is something I've learned to not be afraid of anymore. And that goes with choosing yourself. Choosing yourself unapologetically. Choosing your self-respect. Choosing your relationship with yourself. And honoring your relationship with yourself. So within any situation, asking yourself, what would I do if I was honoring my relationship with myself right now? What would I choose? Because a lot of the times we just feel guilt for choosing ourselves over choosing other people. We feel like we need to always show up for other people and say yes to them and abandon ourselves and abandon our needs. And abandon what we truly feel is best for us simply so we can be that person that's go with the flow. So we can be that person that's, oh, always down to do this and always says yes and always shows up for other people. But my love, you need you. You need you more than other people need you. I spent so long of my life abandoning myself in order to be the person that other people needed. And I needed myself all those years. And so I finally learned how to truly just honor my relationship with myself and unapologetically choose myself. And I'm not saying that we never show up for other people and we never, you know, kind of go against our relationship with ourselves to show up for someone else. Because there are certain circumstances where I'm like, I really want to stay in tonight, but my friend's crying and she needs me. Let me show up for her. So I'm not saying that. Obviously, take it within each situation. But you don't have to be a yes man. You don't have to be the person that is constantly there for everyone else and not there for yourself. You need to nurture and nourish your relationship with yourself above and beyond all else. I'm not sure if that sentence made sense, above and beyond all else. But basically, give yourself permission to set the boundaries. Give yourself permission to choose yourself, even if you're afraid. Even if you're afraid of that person will not like me or be upset with me. Someone who is upset with you for setting boundaries is someone that only benefits from you. And I'm sorry, but I do not have the energy for those type of people in my life anymore. I spent so long feeling like I was walking on eggshells around people because I was so afraid to honor my boundaries and to choose myself and to choose the life that was right for me too as well. I've really, really been able to choose the lifestyle that's right for me too, unapologetically, which for me is like not going out till 3 a.m., not drinking, not doing this. And I had to work hard to rewrite that for myself because I was the girl that was so caught up in, I need to be this person because this is who I've always been. And my friends know me as, I'll go out every weekend and drink. And that was me abandoning myself and my own needs and not choosing what was really right for my soul. And so I really truly learned to unapologetically choose what was right for my soul this year without apology, without caring if other people didn't like it. Because I'm not here to be liked by anyone. Yes, I live my life with love. That's like my motto, is to live with love. And I want to give so much love to other people and so much love to myself, but I don't have to be a yes man. I want to be a yes man to myself, not in a selfish way, but in a way of that I show myself that I'm so worthy of setting those boundaries and choosing my relationship with myself. My next bullet point is crying is healthy. I told you guys, I cried more tears than I've cried in one single year ever. In 2021. And honestly, I used to judge myself so hard for crying. I used to think it was weak. I used to think, again, I was too emotional. But I now look at crying as one of the most beautiful releases of expression. To be able to feel so deeply that you need that physical release, that's simply all it is. It's a release, it's an expression, and it's part of being human, and it's beautiful to be able to express and feel in that way. And I learned a lot about crying in the way that it doesn't always mean that you're sad. It doesn't always mean you're a sad person, or sad in the moment, or sad about yourself. So when I was like younger and in my eating disorder and crying, I was always crying over like, I'm so sad about myself. I'm sad because I don't see my worth. I'm sad because I hate myself. That was really what it was. And this past year, 2 years really, of tears, they've never been that way. It's not the same type of crying. It's I'm crying because I'm going through this emotional pain right now, but I still love myself. That doesn't change. Whereas in the past, it wasn't I love myself. Crying was my way of expressing now and just holding myself through with love and letting myself feel. So crying is healthy because my base, like at my baseline, at my core of who I am, through it all, I knew that I was a girl that loved herself and was happy, but just needed to express the emotions that she was feeling in the moment. So crying, super freaking healthy. My next one is it's okay to feel afraid. It's okay to feel fear. Feel it and do what's right anyways. This is a big one, okay? This is a big one. Because I think a lot of the times when we feel fear, we're convinced that we're not supposed to go in the direction of our fear. If we feel fear, we're supposed to back down to it. But the truth is, fear, a lot of the times, is showing you the way. Fear is show it's illuminating the path for you. And you're supposed to stand up to that fear. You're supposed to feel the fear and do it anyways. Do it afraid. I had to do so many things this year afraid. People who go after what they want, they don't always just do it fearlessly, but the people that you see who are succeeding face their fear. They felt the fear and they went for that thing anyways. I was terrified to leave my relationship, honestly. I was terrified. I felt so much fear. But I knew it was right and I knew it was what I needed to do for myself. And so I felt the fear and I did it anyways. And I'm not saying I didn't sit in Miami and like cry over the loss of that relationship too, because I definitely did. You see, when we make the right decisions for ourselves, it doesn't mean that it always feels good. A lot of the times, it still feels awful. But I faced my fear head on. And I also was afraid to go to Miami for the winter. I was afraid to pack up my apartment that I had moved into 3 months prior and book a one-way to Miami and spend it there. But I felt the fear and I did it anyways. I was afraid to move to California, but I felt the fear and I did it anyways. Am I fully happy in California? The full answer is, or the true answer is no. I just don't love it in LA. But I felt the fear and I did it. And I walked towards what I had dreamt of doing. So do things afraid. I started it. Was I totally afraid to make a new Instagram? So afraid, so afraid, but I did it, and here I am, and here you are because you found me. So feel the fear, do it anyways, or do what's right anyways. A lot of the times, again, the scary decision or the right decision is the scary one, and that's okay. My next bullet point, your soul always knows. Listen, oh. Baby, this is one of my favorites. One of my favorites. Thank you, 2021, for teaching me this. Your soul always knows. Your soul, your inner knowing, your inner guidance system always knows. But as humans, we are souls, but our human selves want to create reasons not to listen to our soul. Our human selves doubt, or our human selves listen to the external world and the shoulds or what's right. And we kind of cock block our souls. Again, our souls, our intuition, they are not influenced by anything in the external realm. They're only concerned with what's truly right for you. And so it might be scary, again, feel the fear and do it anyways, it might be scary to listen to your soul. But I have learned to wholeheartedly listen to my soul before it makes sense. And I have been judged time and time and time for that. For saying, you know what, I don't know why my soul is saying to pack up my apartment and go to Miami. I don't know why my soul is saying, oh, decide to move cross country to LA like a week before you're actually going. I don't know why my soul is saying start a new Instagram. But I'm doing it anyways. I'm listening to my soul beyond the fear that my mind, or beyond the doubt that my mind will filter in from the external world. Because that's really what it is, oh, we might be judged, or this, you know, people don't do this. This is the right way to do this. No, no, no. Your soul doesn't care about the right way for other people. Your soul cares about what's right for you. So the more you lean into that and feel into what your soul is saying and allow yourself to flow with it and go with it, that is when you will live a life aligned with you. When you stop caring about the external of what will people think and say, you know what, this is what my soul thinks and I have to follow my soul. That is when you're going to live your most aligned life. And it'll take time and time again of following your soul. And it's a practice. I mean, there is, you know, this voice in my head sometimes that when I am about to make a decision simply because my soul says so and I have no other explanation or reason, I have this voice in my head of doubt. And I'll be very honest here. It comes from my brother, who is very in his analytical mind. So I'm 26. My brother is 41. And he's kind of always been that voice of, like, I am an intuitive being. He is like an analytical being, and we do not mesh in that way. And so every time I want to make this crazy soul decision, I will hear his voice telling me I'm too impulsive, or you can't just listen to your intuition for everything, or any of those other things that he's said to me that really have stuck in my soul. I have to hop over those words. I have to hop over that story and choose to listen to my soul. Choose what's right, even if it's scary, even if you have those doubts filtering in from external circumstances. Recognize what voice is yours, you know, doubt, what doubt is yours, and what doubt or stories are coming in from other people. Because I have truly learned to honor the fact that I am an intuitive being who follows her soul, who follows her intuition, even when it doesn't make sense to other people. But yes, that voice of my brother, who is an analytical thinker, very much so, and I'm very opposite, always comes in. It's normal. So that goes back to feel the freaking fear and do it anyways. Your soul knows what's right. Listen. Listen. It'll always lead you in the right direction. Even if in that moment it doesn't feel like, you know, even if you listen to your soul and it leads you to something that doesn't feel like it's in the right direction, you're always on the right path. Your soul is guiding you in the path you're meant to be on. I truly believe it. It's putting you in circumstances where you're meant to learn and grow and heal. Putting you in circumstances where, you know, maybe it's not ideal, but you're meant to grow through it. I think that's what kind of happened with me and LA. My soul was like, girl, you need to go to LA. So I followed it. And here I am, and I truly believe that I'm meant to learn something here. This isn't meant to be my place, but my soul guided me here for a reason. And I'm so happy I followed it because I've got to dive deeper into myself and learn things. I know that every step along the journey that my soul pushes me towards is the right step. It's getting me to the right place. So follow your soul. Next bullet point. I like this one. This is just a cute one. Your life doesn't have to be dedicated to healing. Dance more. And by that, I just mean have fun. I mean, when we're in the self-healing world, I think it can be so hard to take a break from it. And I struggle with that too sometimes, of constantly wanting to be working on my healing and forgetting to add more fun to my life as well. Because when you are working on healing and you're also a healer, I'm in this healing space, I hold space for other people, you forget that you do not constantly have to be working on healing, and doing things like going out and having fun and dancing are healing in themselves. I think we overcomplicate. Oh, I always need to be doing inner child work or meditating or doing shadow work or journaling or X, Y, and Z. What sometimes the most healing thing you can do is go out with your friends, have a night, dance till 3 a.m. and let your soul light up. That is healing. Another one. Let's go to the next. You are capable of facing storms head on instead of running. I learned this lesson big time this year, that when life throws storms at us, we want to run. I'm a avid runner from things in the past, from hard circumstances. I used to just be a runner. I used to not know how to sit through the storm. But this past year taught me how much strength I have to sit with myself through a storm, to ground within myself through a storm, to face the storm head on, to face it instead of running the other direction. We have so much power to face any storm head on, instead of always allowing ourselves to run from it. Because storms are always going to catch up to us. The tornado that's coming to your life, it's going to follow you to the next place you run, and the next place you run, and the next place you run, until you say, I'm facing you head on. And you settle the storm that way. That's how you settle the storm, when you face it head on. When you grab it and you force it to come to ground and you look at it. You are capable of facing storms head on instead of running. I think when I also say storms, I mean, life gets overwhelming. I'm actually in a very overwhelming season of life right now where I don't know what my next move is. And I don't mean physically move to like somewhere else. I mean, I don't know what my next step in this life is because I'm really overwhelmed. There's a lot of factors at play right now where I'm not totally happy in LA. I talked about this in my Admit It podcast. I'm just, the city life isn't for me. I struggle definitely to have roommates, which again, I love my roommates, but I am a person that needs so much alone time and alone time in my own energy. So even when my roommates and I are like all in our rooms, I'm someone who can always feel energy. And that's really hard in the city as well. So right now it feels like there are storms being sent. My life is a little stormy. And what's the initial human reaction? I want to run from this. I want to avoid. I want the easy way out. But right now I'm being forced to face this storm, to look at it, and to work it out, to figure it out instead of running and being saved by someone outside of me I'm saving myself. Another one. Next one. Let yourself be loved. This is tough. I love myself a lot. I truly do. But I have a hard time allowing myself to be loved. And this is something I've never opened up to you guys about on here. But one of my biggest things I'm working on within my self-healing journey is allowing healthy love into my life. I think in 2021, I realized that I really struggle with that. I really do. And it's so weird. It's something I'm very, you know, I'm trying to get to the bottom of it because I love myself and I want someone to love me, or I want to allow someone to love me in the way that I love myself. I want to allow someone to fully love me, to take care of me, to really open themselves up to me, or, you know, and I learned this year that I struggle to accept healthy love. So that's one of my lessons, I guess, is to let yourself be loved. And I'm working on it. I'm working hard on letting myself be loved and figuring out what I need to rewrite for myself in order to do that. Okay, two more. One, authenticity is your superpower. The more authentic we are, the more real we are, the more we stand in our truth. That is such a superpower, to be vulnerable, to fully own the ups and the downs of our lives and the lowlights as well as the highlights, to show a full spectrum of what your life is. Authenticity is your superpower. To stand so tall in your truth is your superpower. To not allow yourself to be convinced that you need to hide any part of who you are or your journey or what you've been through or the emotions that you're feeling in any moment is a superpower. Be authentic to you and never let anyone place you in a box or tell you you should hide certain parts of yourself, or don't even let yourself convince yourself that you need to hide your emotions. Be authentic to you in each moment and realize that that might change. What's authentic to you in one moment might be different the next, and that's okay. You're not placed in a box. You're not placed in a category. You're just, you're you. And like I said at the beginning of this episode, meet yourself in each moment. And that's how you be truly authentic. The last one that I learned this year, I honestly think I could write a book of what I learned this year. But the last bullet point was relationships are more than love. And when I wrote that, I meant also that the relationship with yourself is more than love. And that's why I think that this year I really learned that self-love is so much deeper than we portray it to be on Instagram or on social media. Because self-love looks, it's this thing that kind of on the outside looks like, oh, I love myself and I buy myself chocolate and flowers and I treat myself to massages or getting my nails done, or I just, you know, I really think I'm the coolest person. I love who I am. And that is really only part of self-love. And that's why I don't even like anymore looking at it as like self-love. But being in a relationship with myself has changed, you know, viewing it as that has changed so much for me, because a relationship is more than love. Yes, there has to be love, but there also has to be self-honesty, trust, communication, showing up for yourself and being there for yourself. And once I took the lens of I'm in a relationship with myself, I learned that even through the ups and downs, I had to be there for myself. Through the excruciating moments, I had to be there for myself. It didn't always have to be self-love in this beautiful way. I learned that self-love is a relationship with yourself just like any other relationship. It's messy. There's going to be times where you don't like the person that you're in a relationship with, but you love them. And so you're still going to work things out with them. And so I had to work a lot out with myself. And I had to learn how to communicate with myself and be there for myself and hold myself through a lot and not abandon myself. And this also happens, or this also comes to talking about like self-forgiveness. I also had to learn a lot of self-forgiveness and realize that although I have made mistakes and I've hurt people and I'm not perfect, I have to still forgive myself and give myself love and be gentle and meet myself with kindness and compassion through it. I've had to face hurt that I have, you know, unintentionally given to other people and forgive myself for that and be loving towards myself through my imperfections. Self-love is like also realizing that you're not perfect. You're not perfect. And how can I love and accept myself with all of these mistakes and imperfections and things that I've done that maybe I'm not happy about or proud of? How can I still love myself through that? And it's just meeting yourself with this gentle forgiveness and kindness and compassion and realizing that your relationship with yourself is just like a relationship with any other person. How would you act in a relationship with someone else that you love and acting the same way towards yourself and realizing that your relationship with yourself is single-handedly the most important relationship that you ever have in this life, because it impacts all others that you have in your life. You have to give yourself, you have to have such a strong relationship with yourself in order to have really deep and good relationships with other people. We can only meet others as deep as we've met ourselves. So we need to first honor the relationship that we have with ourselves. And my voice is really giving out at this point, but those were the bullet points that I had for the year of 2021 and what I learned. And I wish I was feeling more like myself to really, I feel, dive deeper into those things or speak more poetic or diligently about them. But this is just me meeting myself where I'm at and still showing up for myself, because I wanted to podcast, I wanted to get this out, I wanted to show up for this creative outlet that really does like fill my soul. So I guess this was long, so we're not gonna go month by month of 2021, because that would be a roller coaster. Let's just say I spent a lot of it crying, and that's okay. I'm really happy that grateful that I experienced what I experienced in 2021, because it truly alchemized my growth and my healing and how close I am to myself and my soul. And if I could go back to the beginning of 2021, January, February, March, I would just tell myself to be patient with myself, and I would give that girl a freaking hug. She needed such a big hug. And it's funny because I had this moment the other day where I realized that the girl I was back then, like the version of me that I am now, is who my past little sad Allie self in the beginning of 2021 really needed. And so if you're going through it, just know you're growing through it. I wish I could tell her that, because although I trusted that I was growing, it still felt excruciating. So if you are going through it, know that you are growing through it, and the healing feels like breaking, but you're not breaking. You are building yourself back together in such a beautiful and more strong and resilient way. I have such a beautiful feeling about 2022, although I'm starting it super sick. I really do feel like this is the year I'm fully owning myself even more and stepping even more into my power and finally allowing certain gifts that I haven't allowed to shine. I'm finally giving them room to shine. And I am so grateful for you listening to this. I'm so grateful for you giving me space or holding space for me in your life. And I'm really choosing myself this year in the way that I am like stepping into a whole new business within my life. And I'm super excited that I've done all this healing work to finally allow myself to step into it. And you know what I really, really want to do this year? Like, one of my biggest things this year, I want to own the frick out of my dualities, out of the duality of who I am. I want to own the frick out of the parts of myself that contradict, because I've spent, that contradict each other, because I've spent so long, you know, I have this soft energy that's really subtle and light and sweet and feminine, and then I have this bold, loud, dancing around and yelling and singing and really chaotic in a beautiful way, I think, energy about me. I can be in meditation mode 1 second, listening to meditation music, 438 hertz, and then I can be dancing around my room to old rap music or to Drake, like whatever it may be. And I've spent so long asking myself, how do I want to show up in this world? Which part is me? Because I have so many pieces that don't seem like they fit together. So many parts of me that don't seem like they would go together. And this year is a year that I truly embrace that, hey, maybe those puzzle pieces don't fit next to each other, but they make up the puzzle of who I am, and I'm fully embracing every part of my puzzle and allowing myself to be all that I am in all of my dualities, in all of my contradictions. I am allowing myself to be a walking contradiction. And this year, I think my word is just love. Love, as cliche or whatever as it may sound. I want to live my life with so much love for other people and for myself. I want to wear my heart on my sleeve. I want to be so open to loving others and to allowing them to love me. I want to be so open to expressing that love. I want to do everything with love. I want to create with love. I want to show up with love. I want to be this moving expression of love. I want to vibrate at that frequency, and I want to speak to others with so much love from my heart. I want to really, really speak from my heart this year and not hold anything back, especially when it comes to talking to other people and telling them like how I feel. I just want to be this fearless, unapologetic version of myself who wears her heart on her sleeve, even if it gets burnt or ripped to the ground again. I think it's so beautiful to be loved and to wear your heart on your sleeve and to allow yourself to be so vulnerable in that way, even if it does hurt you, because it's a beautiful thing to be a loving person. 2021 taught me so much. It got me to where I am today. It made me dive deeper into my practice with Pilates and meditation and movement and just myself and my mind on my mat. And I'm so thankful for it. So thankful for the triumphs, the trials, the ups, the downs, everything in between that taught me that I can rise up. And so can you. You can rise up from anything with love. So I did have more plans for this episode. I did have more that I really wanted to get into with you guys about what 2022 is going to bring for me, for you, for us, for life, my business. But I'm fading, if you cannot tell. I can hardly talk anymore. You guys have been pausing to like cough because my throat is so dry. I haven't talked this much in days. But I hope you move into this new year with love and grace, and don't put so much pressure on yourself to be anything other than who you are. Because if there's anything I want to serve as a constant reminder to you guys, it's that who you are is enough in this moment, exactly as you are. Don't ever think that you need to be anything other than yourself. I hope this is the year that you fully embody and embrace yourself, all that you are. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. I truly can't tell you how grateful I am. Again, I'm sorry if this episode was a little messy. COVID brain, you guys. But it was good to talk to you. Nice. It's like I'm ending a phone call. It's so good to talk to you. Thanks for checking in. But truly, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for being here. I love you so much. And we'll talk next time. Okay, bye.